You got a Bible tonight? Let's take another stab at Nehemiah chapter 9. See how far we can get. It's something I want to try to get to. But I'm going to follow the Lord and try my best to mind Him. And that's what church is about anyhow. And it's just to come in to magnify Him and exalt Him. And preach and teach, study the Word of God. Glad we got a good church we can go to tonight. And I bless Him for it. Let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found on the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 9 this evening. Book of Nehemiah, chapter number 9. I'll read verse number 4 and 5. Then stood upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bunai, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chanani, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. Then the Levites, I like what Brother Mark Cooper said, then the Levites and all them said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thank you for standing tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs that's been sung. Pray now you'd help us in the preaching of your word tonight. Pray, Lord, you'd let us be a blessing like only you can be. Be one here lost tonight. I pray you'd open their eyes, open their ears and their hearts. We'll be gracious to you and we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen and amen. Aren't you glad when you can't pronounce somebody's name, he knows your name? Now this morning we talk about this day to be a Nehemiah. We're talking first of all, in verse 15, there was a personal God. He is available. And you'll notice that he said in Nehemiah 9 that here in verse number 5, he said, it is your God. I'm glad he is my God tonight. I want to ask you, do you realize he's a personal God? He is available. He said, stand up and bless the Lord, your God. I'm glad I've got Him as my God. And He is a personal God. He's available. Aren't you glad that He's just not home a few days a week? Aren't you glad that He's not only on the phone line every now and then? But I sure am glad we've got a God that is available. And I'm so glad that He's personal. Oh, I'm glad He knows us by name. Amen. And may I say this, since He's personal, He can get real personal with us. And I sure am glad of that tonight. But here, on this thought of one cannot worship Him well until you know Him well, first of all, He said, I want you to understand He's a personal God. He's available. But in verse number 6, I want to say that He is a preserving God. He is Almighty. Then even thou art Lord. Look what He says. Alone. Nobody's got to prop Him up. Nobody's got to push Him around. Nobody's got to let Him out of a room. Let me tell you, He's God all by Himself tonight. I sure am glad that He is a preserving God. He's almighty. He's self-existent. He's immutable. And He's all-powerful. And He's without equal. He says this, thou even thou art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. I got news for the Darwin theory boys. God not only created it, He's preserved it. God didn't create it and then Darwin take over. God has created. No, He didn't make it. He's created it. He said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Here He's bragging on a God that stands alone. I sure am glad He's God all by Himself. He don't need me and you to make Him God. He's God by Himself. And I sure am glad He's that kind of God tonight. Then, not only is He self-existing and immutable and all power, He's without equal. There's nobody like Him. But you'll notice that verse number 7, not only is He's a personal God, He's available, He's a preserving God, He's almighty. But thirdly tonight, He's a present God, He's alive. Look what they found out in verse 7. Now, here the preachers are preaching on the stairs. They're going in a long prayer. They're reminding the children of what God has done. It does us good to be reminded about what God has done. He said, and found us. He said, Thou art the Lord, the God, verse 7, who did choose Abram, brought us him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and gave us him the name of Abraham, and found us his heart faithful before thee, and made us a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous. And you better know that he is a present God. He's alive. Now watch. And did see the affliction. I'm glad we got a God that can see. And heard us their cry by the Red Sea. You say he's alive. How you know? Because he can see and he can hear. And I sure am glad he can hear our cry by the Red Sea experiences. What's that about, preacher? Well, they got up to the Red Sea and it hadn't opened yet. But ain't you glad that God heard their cry? Can I remind you, you're going to have a Red Sea experience one of these days. Something you can't get across. There's an enemy behind you, but there's a promised land in front of you. And ain't you glad when you get up to your Red Sea, there's a sovereign God in heaven not can only see you, but hear you, and He can touch you and do something for you. The Bible said He parted the waters and they crossed over on dry ground. That's amazing to me. Somebody said, well, you know, all of them people, look right here what happened this. My goodness, he's a present God. He's alive. But I want you to notice this. He's a protecting God. He's alert. Look what He done. He said, and He showed us signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all of his servants, my, and on all the people of his land, for thou knewest thou dealt proudly against them. Watch this. Now, underline this. You ever seen this in your Bible? So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day. God made him a name and he kept it. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it takes too long to build a name to destroy it. God said, I'm the kind of God that I've done made me a name. And I've kept it. And guess what? He's still keeping it. He's still the God of the Bible tonight. Now you say, now he's a protecting God. He's alert. What are you talking about? Well, look what he done. Now, he opened up the Red Sea and heard their cry. The Bible said that their chariots, the chariot wheels, sunk. He killed multitudes of Pharaoh. I like what one old liberal man say. Well, he said, well, God, the reason he parted them waters is because they only crossed it in knee-deep water. It wasn't too deep. And I like what the old country preacher said. He said, well, that makes him a bigger God than what you know him to be because he killed all them thousands in knee-deep water. But can I tell you, he is a God tonight. He's a protecting God. He's alert. Aren't you glad he's watching about you? Can I tell you, the psalmist David said that the Lord would follow him
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow him all the days of his life, and he'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When you're not looking, God is a looking. When you laying down, God is a looking. Preacher, what are you talking about? Before you can praise him, you better know this. He's a personal God. He's available. Is he your Savior? He's a preserving God. He is almighty. He's a present God. He's alive. But he's a protecting God. He is alert. Now watch this. He said in verse 11, thou didst divide the sea before them, so they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps as a stone into the mighty waters. Now go up there and look in verse number 10. I'm going to show you something. He's a protecting God. He's alert now. He showed his signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and on all his servants and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get their name as it is this day. Now, you know where he's talking about. I want to show you something that's amazing to me. Now, I want to show you where God got his name from. Take a look with me in Exodus chapter number 7. If you've got a pencil or pen and you write in your Bible, then I want to give you a few places tonight to take a look at and a few thoughts that I hope that will help you on this. He's a protecting God. He is alert. Now, we're God's people, amen? The children of Israel, for some 85 years, has been held captive amongst the Egyptians. Pharaoh has risen into ranks, and he's got God's people under hard bondage. It would do our president and all of our leaders good to read Exodus 7 through Exodus chapter number 12 to realize that God's going to see about his people. And can I tell you something? Not only is he going to see about his people Israel, but according to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2, I skipped over this morning, we was grafted in the book of Romans. We was outcasts. We was Gentile dogs. Israel didn't want him. God said, that's fine. I'll turn to somebody that wants him. And he died on a cross for Gentile people. That ought to make us double shout tonight to realize a sovereign God in heaven come our way and give us a chance to be saved by his amazing grace. Now, Pharaoh's got his young'uns. I'm talking about there is hundreds of thousands of them. They're under hard bondage and hard labor. And God has a belly full of it. They got to crying. And so here God comes upon Pharaoh. And let me tell you how he goes to Pharaoh. He goes to Pharaoh with Moses and Aaron. And he says this in Exodus 7. The Lord said to Moses, see, I've made thee a god, little g, to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now God can set up whatever he wants to set up. Watch what he says. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land, and look what God said he's going to do to boot. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you. Isn't it something God knows what we're going to do before we do it? That I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. In other words, he's saying, when I'm done with y'all, y'all going to know who I am. Can I tell you, child of God, when he's done with you, you'll find out who he is. Can I tell you, sinner, when he's done with you, you'll find out who he is. And the Egyptians shall know. Verse 6, Moses and Aaron did as the Lord told them. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83. When they spake to Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, span, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, say, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, They did so as the Lord had commanded Aaron and cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants. And look, and it become a serpent. Pharaoh called the wise men, the sorcerers, and the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, witchcraft. And it's still of the devil tonight. For they, hey, you better stay away from them tarot card reader women. You better stay away from them Ouija boards. You better stay away from them soothsayers. We got the Word of God. We got all we need. For they cast down every man his rod. Watch this. They became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Now, I can tell you all through this before I get there. The devil could always put something in, but he couldn't never take nothing out. The devil's good at putting in sin, but he can't take away sin. And so here God told Aaron, he said, you throw the rod down, and it'll become a serpent. Verse 13, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, there are 10 plagues that God put upon Egypt because He wouldn't let His people go. 10 plagues that He brought upon Egypt to prove not only to make Him a name, but to be sure that His people was set free. Pharaoh had a hard heart. The Bible said God hardened his heart. I'll take what the Bible said. Do you understand it? No. But I'm not amazed about it. I'll tell you what I'm amazed about. God made my heart soft. I'm not going to sit and try to figure out nothing that we won't never know about. All I know is, God, thank you for making my heart soft. Now watch what the Bible says. Look in Exodus 7, verse 14, the first plague He sent on them. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Goeth out in the water. Thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shall thou take in your hand. Thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord in this, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I'll smite with the rod that's in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that's in the river shall die. The river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Aaron, take thy rod and stretch it out upon the streams, on the rivers, on the ponds, and upon all the pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so. And you know what? Verse 20, the river was turned to blood. Put it right there by verse number 14. The first plague was he turned water to blood. Boy, they worshipped the river. And you know all of them little male babies that they throwed out in the river when Moses was a young baby, all the blood that was upon their hands, God said, it's coming back home to haunt you. And can I tell you, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You may do wrong a little while, honey, but there's a payday coming someday. And buddy, these chickens just come home to roost. Somebody help me tonight. And God turned all their water to blood. Look, verse 21. The fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians, there's nothing no worse smell except a hog than dead fish. Somebody say amen. The water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 24. The Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. Could you imagine looking at that big Nile, and all of a sudden it was turned the color of this carpet when they got up that morning? God had done. Could you imagine Pharaoh now over a people knowing they needed to drink and bathe? And he seen this. Moses told him it was going to happen. All of a sudden he turned. You know what I'd have done? I'd have fell on my face and said, "Oh, God, let these people get out from me." So number one, the first plague, he turned the water to blood. Second plague, chapter 8, verse number 1, frogs come on the scene. These frogs came in verse number 6 of Exodus 8. He stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. What do frogs get in, preacher? Well, look in Exodus 8, verse 2. He said, "If you refuse to let them go, I'll smite all your borders with frogs. The river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. We shall go up and come into thine house, in the bedchamber, upon your bed, in the house of thy servants, upon thy people, in thine ovens, and in thy kneading trough. And the frogs shall come upon both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants." The Lord spake unto Moses, saying to Aaron, "Stretch forth thine hand." That's what he done. Verse 6, "And frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." Look now in verse number 12. "And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried to the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. The Lord did according to the word of Moses. The frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the field." Look what they done. You talking about a night at frog gigging, neighbor. They had them some kind of frogs in a pie. "And they gathered them together upon heaps." Look here. "And the land stank." And that's sort of like whooping and whipping. It didn't stink. It stank. Boy, that's the way frogs are at our house, aren't they? So, the second plague was frogs in the ovens, in the kneading trough, in the beds. Lord, I tell you what, fellas, I don't know where my wife would have laid down, but it wouldn't have been there that night. Frog, can you imagine? Pull the bed covers back and frogs. Put them pop-ums in the oven, frogs. Everywhere you look, frogs. They piled them up. Boy, you know, and it stank. Boy, don't sin stink. Number 3, lice. Boy, that'd be a real blessing, wouldn't it? Verse 16, Exodus 8. "The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, stretch out your rod." Watch this. "Smite the dust of the land, and may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And he did so with the rod. He smote the dust, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And watch this. "The magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. And the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God." Now, if God can do that with a finger, what would he do with his hand? He brought lice. I could say a few things there, but I'll run on. I'm glad I won't have that problem. Amen. So lice was number 3. Number 4, you ever seen a contrary fly? Look what happens. He's told him in Exodus 8:20, number 4. He said, "Else," verse 21, "thou wilt not let my people go. Behold, I'll send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants, upon thy people, and in thy houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarm of flies, and also the ground wherein they are." Swarms of flies. Watch this, what he says now. Verse 22, he says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, where his people was, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I'll put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." Verse 24, "And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies in the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, all the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies." Flies. That was 4. Number 5, chapter 9, verse number 3. Look at the 5th thing God done. All their livestock died. Then the Lord said to Moses, he said, "You go tell him, let my people go. If he refuses," verse 3 of chapter 9, "the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field. upon the horses, on the asses, upon the camels, on the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. You look that word up, murrain, it means plague. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And look, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one. The cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Now, you know something? A bell would have went off in me then. I mean, I done seen all the rivers turn to blood. I done seen frogs in my house. I done got lice all over me. There's swarms of flies all over me. Now all my livestock have died, and I've looked over there in the land of Goshen, and nothing's happened to God's people. Can I tell you, it does pay to serve God. Don't let the devil soft soap this thing, friend. It does pay to serve God. When I'd have looked over there and seen all them still a-grazing, mine was done died up stinking in a pile, I think a light would have come on. It's amazing to me how light don't come on with people. God tries to get our attention and we still keep acting crazy. Matter of fact, I don't know why we think so much about Pharaoh when we act crazy as he does. Somebody help me now. Livestock died. Look at chapter 9, verse 8, the sixth thing. Boy, this is a terrible thing. Chapter 9 and verse number 8. The Lord said to Moses, to Aaron, take to you a handful of ashes of the furnace. Let Moses sprinkle it toward heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt. And shall be a boil breaking forth with blains. I looked that up this evening. You know what that means? That's like a rising that comes to a head. Look what it says. It shall come upon man, upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. They took the ashes and they threw them, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man, upon and upon the beast. These boils, these sores, that was the sixth. Look what happens on number 7, chapter 9, verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I'll cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Verse 22. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, beast, on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. And look, fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man, beast. Hail smote every herb of the field, break every tree of the field. Verse 26, I sure did want to be in Goshen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Is anybody enjoying the Bible lesson tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Only in the land of Goshen where the children of Israel was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to him, I have sinned this time. The Lord's righteous. I and my people are wicked. Now, the hail was the seventh. But you know what? That didn't do the job. Look at chapter 10, verse 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. Pharaoh's still playing around with God. He's done been an Indian giver. He went back on what he thought to do. And God said, okay, we're not done yet. Chapter 10, verse 13. The Lord said to Moses, verse 12, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched it out over the land,
And the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they before them. There were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall there be such. Well, guess what? That wasn't enough. Number 9, the ninth plague. Look what he does in verse 21. He said, okay. He said, big boy, you've not had enough yet. He said, the Lord said, now you're talking about a man with a hard heart, friend. He's got him a case of hard heart. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now that's some thick darkness. I'm talking about it's so dark you can feel it. That's dark. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven. There's a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Look here. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Oh, Lord. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. For 3 days, they's bumping into each other. I'm talking about couldn't even see your hand. You ever been in a place that dark? They put me in a sound booth not long ago. Closed it, taking a hearing test. It got so dark in there I couldn't feel it, Brother Jerry, but I sure couldn't see nothing. These folks was in darkness. They could feel it. That's dark, neighbor. But look what God said about His children. He had the light on them. Aren't you glad we are children of light this evening? And so now Pharaoh, he just sort of standing there. And God says, okay, this ninth is darkness, but I've got the last order. The last plague. It was a terrible plague. Probably the worst of them all. In chapter number 11, I want you to look what he done. Verse number 1. All the firstborn of Egypt died. If you're sitting in this church tonight, you were the firstborn in your family, you died. The Bible said, the Lord said to Moses, yet I'll bring one plague more on Pharaoh, Exodus 11:1. And upon Egypt afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, you shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, let every man borrow of his neighbor, every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and the sight of the people. And Moses says, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Look, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on his throne to the firstborn of the maidservant that's behind the mill and all the firstborn of the beasts. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there is none like it, nor shall there be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know. Did I tell you I was preaching on a protecting God? He's alert. Know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. It does pay to serve God. And all these thy servants shall come down to me and bow down themselves to me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And I went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders for Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his hand. And the Lord spake unto Moses, this is what he tells them. He says, I want everybody of Israel, I want you to, in verse 3, I want you to speak to all the congregation. In the 10th day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, ain't you glad the lamb ain't too little for the household? If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next into his house take it according to the number of the souls. And look what he says, verse 7. They're going to kill the lamb. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 11, this shall be the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I'll smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I'll execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Bible said in verse 29, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. Could you imagine the cries of them mamas that lost them firstborns that morning? Can you imagine the cries of the daddies? Could you imagine the cries of every house in Egypt? Can I tell you something tonight in closing? God takes this thing very serious. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, for there was not one dead. What a community. Now, Brother Tim, when one dies, we all bond together and go to that house. But can I tell you that God takes His young'uns serious? There wasn't a house in the land that wasn't affected. Could you imagine, because their leader had that kind of a heart? You say, preacher, did God harden his heart? He said He did. Preacher, why'd God do that? I don't know. I just know what the Bible says, that He hardened His heart. All I know is this. Not only did He harden His heart, He said, I tell you what y'all do. He said, I've got a lamb provided. And said, by the way, the lamb's not too little. Said, the lamb's big enough. Said, you go get your neighbor, kill the lamb, bring them in your house, and you strike the lintels of the door and the doorpost. And when that death angel comes across, he's fixing to kill all the firstborn. He said, they won't touch your house. Because you know what he said? You know what he said? Y'all know what he said? He didn't say if you've had water put on you, or if you've joined the Baptist church. He didn't say, he said, when I see the blood. Can I tell you it's still the blood tonight? I just can't go no further. I'm give out. That's a pretty good Bible lesson, is it not? You know, we think about sinners. What will it take to get their attention? God said, when I see the blood. I'm glad the blood's been applied to me. How's it been applied? By faith. Because He died for me and He died for you. And by faith I reached up. God applied His blood. I'm so glad that blood's over the doorpost of my house tonight. You know something, Mom and Daddy? There's protection in the blood. You have no idea what God has kept you from just because you serve the Lord at your house. Did you know this Bible teaches you, ladies, if you've got a lost husband, if you'll keep serving God, that God would deal with them, that you bring... You become in a special order at your house when you serve God. Boy, God don't take this thing of serving Him lightly. I wished our leadership of our country could read them verses I read tonight. God takes His people serious. And let me tell you something. God made Him a name, and He's kept it. And you know what? He's going to keep keeping it. and ain't nobody going to steal his name. And I don't care if every country, if every church in this country goes liberal, he's going to be God and he's going to keep his name, and it's still the blood tonight. I'm glad it's the blood. I seen something that's saying, I'm going to ramble now and then I'm going to go. I seen something that's saying, somebody shared with me, where an employee at Burger King got fired because she's a Christian, wore a dress, wouldn't wear their pants, and they fired her. Did you know if they would have fired a Muslim for not wearing their headband, or if they would have fired somebody else that don't believe like us, there'd have been 20,000 in the street tomorrow, ramping and raving and marching. And let me tell you, young people, something. You always remember this, your preacher said this. It's still the blood. It's the blood of the darling Lamb of God that hung and died for us. And if we believe in Him, then that blood has been applied to us. And He said, when I see it, I'll pass over you. Boy, I'm glad that death angel wouldn't come to my house tonight, take me to a bad place. I'm glad I'm forever sealed, forever settled. See, it does pay to serve God. People make fun of you, and people's got to where they don't believe it. You know, they'll cast out a Christian, but they'll hold Muhammad up. But let me tell you one church, and ain't a backing off the blood tonight. You sitting in her. Thank you for being here.